The Quarterback Room with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage.
McCaffrey gets that snap. Here comes some pressure. McCaffrey steps up, throws over the middle. It is juggled and caught for a touchdown. Oh, my, what a play. Jaron Mitchell ends up with a ball, and the Bears score a touchdown in the overtime.
Boy, add that up with a huge defensive stop late, and the Bears come away with a W, now 1-0 in the Big Sky Conference. It's the Quarterback Room with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage. Dylan, is a treat. You didn't even see what was happening at the end of that play. I mean, you had a nice pass, but you got taken down.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was on my back, and I heard the crowd cheering, and that's always a pretty good feeling because plenty of times it goes the other way. So,
oh man, what a gritty performance by you guys! And okay, let's go back. I mean, again, you look at the Lamar game the weekend before. It felt like the exact same situation, kind of low scoring, and you're seeing, all right, whose offense is going to come out and make this thing work? And you guys go down there. It's a great pass on your part to Dylan Thomas. It goes through Dylan's hands, and I don't know how the football gods work sometimes, but it goes right through his hands into Mitchell's and a touchdown. And then we have a huge stop later. But what a crazy, crazy outcome.
Yeah, it doesn't get more exciting than that. That was, overtime is – college overtime is gritty in general, and you got to kind of grit one out. We were waiting for someone to make a big play like that, and Jaron stepped up huge, man. That was awesome to see from him. Just finding a way, man. That's what we talked about a ton, just finding a way, and he found a way.
All right, and then you got Elijah Anderson-Taylor coming up with, you and I were talking to the break, comes in for R.J. Potts with that hit. Of course, we know how college football is now, NFL too. R.J. Potts, and then you got him coming in, and my goodness, what is it, fourth and inches or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't much.
I'm listening to the broadcast. I'm hearing Jerry. He's like, man, they're going to go right up the gut, right up the gut here. Go on the outside. And there's Taylor, man. He takes him down from the back and game over.
Yep.
I mean, what were you doing on the sidelines when that's happening?
Oh, I was sweating a little bit, man. I was a little nervous, but I trust our defense, man, so much. And if the season so far hasn't shown you that, then I don't know what you're watching, because they make some plays, man, and they're a really good unit, and Elijah had to step up big because RJ, I mean, he was out, and he did. So, wow, really proud of him, man. Really proud of all those guys.
So much of football, right, is guys, we say that a lot. We say next man up, and sometimes it's cliche, right? But in this case, I mean, you said you needed the next man up. You absolutely did. Final play of the game. Crazy.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's something we harped on all week, because the previous week before was, I mean, crazy inside the building. We had some COVID cases, all kinds of different things, and a lot of people had to fill in, and I mean, they did a decent job, but it was something that we harped on. You know, just you never know, especially in today's world, you never know when you're going to get called and have to make a play. And like I said, so proud of Elijah for doing that.
Is it more rewarding sometimes when you have a game where on the offensive side of the ball, maybe not everything's going according to plan. It's just kind of rough. It's gritty. But you guys find a way at the end. You get that touchdown in overtime. Is it sometimes more rewarding than one of those offensive games where it's like, hey, we're going nuts. We're throwing the ball over all over the yard?
A little bit, man, because it's so much stress, but like all leading up to that. And then finally when one play does break, when Jaron makes that catch, it's just a whole lot of weight off the shoulders. Like, okay, hey, we won the game. Because it's a whole lot better correcting mistakes after a win than it is after losing.
Now, we talked about last week going back and watching film after a loss. This one's probably fun to go back and watch, at least in that overtime period.
Definitely. No, it's a lot, like I said, a lot better than when you're correcting mistakes after a loss. So, you know, there were some mistakes. Like you said, it wasn't the prettiest game, and we kind of had to grit one out, but you know, so proud of that team for finding a way to grit it out.
Well, and you look at football in general, but you tack on the COVID year that was. I mean, UNC didn't play any football games last year. Yeah. And I've talked to your dad several times about so many guys on your roster, you included, that hadn't had a full game under your belt until that CU game hit. So it is a heck of a process just to see every week in and week out. And we say this all the time about college football. It truly is like every week is a completely different story.
Yeah, no doubt. It's I mean, once you're in season, it really is. Each week is its own little chapter in one large book. And face new opponents, new locations. I mean, all different new scenarios, and that's why offseason, you just got to be very situationally prepared, you know, because you never know what kind of situation you're going to find yourself in.
What were you guys talking about at halftime? You know, defensively, you guys making the plays. Defense is getting after it. Yep. I mean, it's been a great year so far for that defense.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are talking about, okay, what can we do to break this thing open a little bit? What are those conversations like when you're just going back, kind of sitting down at halftime?
Yeah, a lot of them is, feeling out kind of what the other team's doing and how we want to counter that, you know, and thinking, all right, what play is going to help us make that play? What play is going to break it over up for us? And so a lot of that, it's really nice having the defense that we have because it takes a lot of pressure off the offense, even though, I mean, we still got to perform better. But, I love it, obviously. You don't feel tense happening, oh, we got to score every single possession because you know they're going to make some stops, and it's about scoring at the right times.
What's that? And again, that relationship too with you guys in the locker room. I know it's not just an offensive side, but the defense. I mean, mm-hmm. Are you guys going up and saying, hey, you guys are keeping us in this football game. We're going to go get after it. We're going to go get one of those, get that big score in overtime.
Yep, we've been saying that a lot these past couple weeks. So,
isn't that great when it kind of all clicks like that too? Mm-hmm. When you can have a great offensive play, no matter how, because that play would have been to Dylan Thomas, would have been a first down. So yeah. We'd be dealing with first and goal.
Yep.
Would have been great. But instead, it's tipped and it's like, well, you know, he's probably like, dang, I wish I would have caught that pass, but yeah. At the same time, it worked out. So
yeah.
That's just a bizarre situation, but still something good would have come from it if Thomas would have held on to the football.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think we offensively went in that overtime very confident. I mean, it's a little bit easier on offense when you get the ball on, 25-yard line going in. So I know we had gotten 25 yards plenty of times. That wasn't necessarily the issue. So we were confident still, especially with the run game that we have. But, hey, I mean, we'll take that any day of the week. Any game, we'll take a little score.
How important is it to get the ball first in overtimes like that? I always wonder, is it a mental thing? Do you want the ball first, or are you like, hey, we want to see the defense make the stop first, take some of the pressure off?
Yeah, in college overtime, it's very strategic to actually not get the ball first. You want your defense on the field. Because, hey, if they get a stop, all you need is a field goal. That completely changes what you're going to call. Ben Raybon, we got a great kicker on our squad. So it's nice there where, hey, if defense gets a stop, all we need is three to win the game, then, you're maybe not being quite as aggressive. You still want to score. Offenses are always going to try to score, but it's changes the game plan a little bit. But that time I know our defense had just come off from a long drive, so they were a little tired and they were ready though. We were still going to send them out there if we won the coin toss. Ended up losing and ended up working in our favor though. So
yeah, it worked
we'll take
out.
It, yeah.
It's the quarterback room with Dylan McCaffrey presented by First Advantage. Okay, that last play of the game, we talked about Elijah and then the play he made. Were you shocked at the play call there? I mean, like we said, 4th and inches.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the broadcast they were talking about, Jerry was talking about maybe just sneaking it, what they were going to do, going up the gut there. They run to the right. Were you shocked at the play call, or is it just, it could have gone either way?
Yeah, no, they had a couple sneaks in there early on that worked. I was worried about it. That's a usually pretty effective play call. You see, I mean, Tom Brady's made a whole lot of 4th and 1s on that.
He's got a lot of touchdowns like
that,
right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. However, they had a big back. I don't know. Tough to compare sizes sometimes on TV, but he was a big guy. He was probably 6'3". I mean, 230 maybe. So if sometimes all you got to do is trust those guys to fall forward. And if he fell forward, he would have got it. So all compliments to our defense for making that stop because that's a hard stop to make.
Yeah, they were they were 149 yards rushing as a team. I mean, mm-hmm. They were running the ball fairly well. It's not like they were running all over the field, but they were running it fairly well. And it's just nuts to me sometimes that it can come down. I mean, it truly is a game of inches in that case.
No doubt, yeah, especially in those close games, it's every yard, every inch counts.
I know you guys are working on the rushing attack. Sledge led the way with 23 yards, 55 total. That's something that I'm sure you guys are going to continue to emphasize because not having that consistent rushing attack obviously leads to not having a consistent passing attack, too, and becoming predictable. So I know that's something you guys will be working on like crazy this week.
Yeah, no doubt. In a pro-style offense, you really got to have both working for you. And, we do. We trust those guys. We trust Sledge, True, Buddha, all our backs, our good ball players, and we're going to keep giving them a ball, and they're going to make some plays.
What's your relationship like with your receiving core as a quarterback? You know, it is about chemistry, it seems like, mm-hmm. a lot of the times. I mean, you're watching the Broncos yesterday, and it's just certain guys Teddy Bridgewater will connect with, and he's connecting with Tim Patrick. Those two guys must be best friends. I always wonder that. Is that a personal relationship, or is that just how it goes sometimes? What's your relationship like with your receiving core?
I got a good relationship with all the receivers, man. I love that room. That's a hard-working room on our team. And they do things right, man. And they're those guys that show up every day, and that's not always the case in the receiver room. There's a lot of receiver rooms, a lot of teams that are kind of, you know, I don't know. Sometimes that room can be bad, yeah. But I love our guys on our side. They work really hard, man, and I see them in the building every day, and I trust them. I really trust them. And then you see that, I'll give any one of them a ball, like a little dump pass, and just, you know, sometimes that's all football is, letting those guys make plays, and they're doing a great job of it so far.
Well, you and Cassidy Woods must be like best friends, man, because you really trust that guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, Cassidy's an awesome player, man, awesome guy all around, and yeah, we have a really good relationship. So,
and a monster game, 11 receptions, 123 yards, so mm-hmm. great game there. I think I heard your dad on the coach's show, Coach McCaffrey, last week talking about, you know, some receivers can be prima donnas. Mm-hmm. Your dad was definitely not one of those guys. He's one of those guys that was out blocking, doing all those crazy things. You know that more than anybody. So it makes sense that this group of receivers definitely doesn't carry that mm-hmm. that prima donna kind of thing.
No doubt. And, I mean, if you watch our tape, you'll see our receivers do really well blocking in the run game, or those little, bubble passes, any type of screen. They do a really good job blocking, and that's something that just – adds the character of that room, as I was mentioning, and so that's an awesome room on our team.
What's it like for you guys? I talked to you about this, I think, the first time we had you on, Dylan, the rankings, the preseason mm-hmm. rankers, and I know those never mean anything, but isn't it kind of cool for you guys? Northern Arizona was ranked kind of in the middle, maybe in the upper echelon as far as the Big Sky Conference coaches poll and media poll. For you guys to beat one of those teams, because, again, let's face it, there were a lot of teams that were picked to finish above you, to beat one of them right off the bat, start 1-0 in conference play, is that something extra special, or is it just, hey, it's a win, it's a conference win, whatever?
No, it definitely is. I mean, when all the teams in your conference vote you last, it means something when you beat any of them, and that's something we want to – we've been carrying that chip on our shoulder from the start of the season, and especially now that we're in conference play, so –
It's the quarterback room with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage. You good to stick around for another 5 minutes or so?
Yeah,
come back.
Yeah,
we'll take a short break. Big game coming up in the Big Sky Conference as we continue running through conference play. Montana State coming up. So we'll look at that, get a brief look at that with Dylan while we can. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. A quarterback room with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage.
Welcome back to the show. Dylan McCaffrey, man, hanging out, put in some overtime here on the show today.
You know, I'll do it. It's a fun show. I enjoy it. So.
Oh, man. Hey, it's more fun after a W, right?
much more fun. Everything is, though. Yeah, definitely this, man.
Everything's
more
better. Food tastes better. Oh, yeah. Music's better. I mean, it's all good, man. It's fantastic. Getting that dub. And we talked about it. Northern Arizona doing what they did last week. I mean, that mm-hmm. Beating a Pac-12 team, that's got to feel even a little bit better coming up and beating a team like that.
Oh, no doubt, man. And they've had some great games past. I'm sure they'll continue to have some great games. They're a good football team. So every time, man, that is really nice. Yeah, they had a win against Arizona a week before, which, you know, always feels good from us. It feels like, you know, makes us, and we compete with anyone, which we truly can, I believe.
Well, and now you got another team that they didn't beat Wyoming at the mm-hmm. beginning of the season, but Montana State took it to the limit against the Cowboys up north.
Yep.
They end up losing 19-16. Since then, it's been easy sailing. They beat Drake 45-7, USD 52-10, Portland State last week 30-17. So yep. Montana State, you guys are on the road. This is always a tough battle. And this conference is just good. There's no way around it. This is a good conference.
No doubt. This is a really solid conference. There's so much depth here, man. We don't play a bad team the rest of the year.
Yeah,
which is kind of fun. It's a heck of a challenge, but every game's going to have to be, you know, earned. There's no gimme games left.
So, Dylan, talk to us a little bit. All right, you got a chance to go back and analyze the film from the weekend. Now you start turning that page and look at Montana State. And, you know, if you just look on the surface, I mean, they do a lot of things right, obviously jumping in with a 3-1 record to start the season. What are some of the things that stick out to you early on in the week? I know it's Monday, but just a couple of things that pop out.
Yeah, couple of things pop out is just this is a solid program that is used to winning. I mean, you look at the past years, they've won a lot of ball games, and that's something that our team is just now getting used to. But something that would be awesome to kind of overcome is just that factor of winning, of a successful program. That's it's tough to beat sometimes, but I mean, I think if once we get that done, it'll really kind of set in on us.
Now, getting back out on the road too. I mean, again, I just think these kind of early wins, your first conference game, you're winning at home, and again, it was a gritty performance, but taking a win like that. The confidence that you guys have in each other now, knowing, hey, even when we're not at our best, we found a way to get a W. So taking that now on the road for this coming Saturday, I mean, that's got to be a big-time plus.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, road games are hard, especially with both these Montana schools. I've heard they have some pretty awesome crowds, which is something you got to honestly look forward to just as a football fan, as a football player. But definitely make it harder to play the game sometimes when you're out there. I mean, hearing some noise and it's something, though, that you got to get used to and you got to just embrace and enjoy.
What's that like for you with the noise? I mean, obviously, you have to have great communication with your coaches, with your offensive line, with all your guys, really. I mean, how much does that bother you? Because you've played in some big-time stadiums before and in front of some big-time crowds.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of helps tune things out sometimes. It can kind of help you lock in more. Especially from a quarterback, usually you'll be on silent count in these really loud stadiums and you don't got to be yelling anything, which in a weird way makes it a little easier. You know, you can kind of just look at the defense, move whatever the teams do, whether it's a clap or whether it's a hand, whatever, and ball will come to you, you know, instead of yelling out the cadence the whole time, which I've always found that kind of nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Again, we'll have all that coverage for you on 103.1, 1310, 1310kfk.com. It's all over the place. You'll be able to catch it. Cannot wait for this game, though, as we knew getting into conference play was going to be exciting. And so far, so good. I love the fact that we just mirrored what happened in that Lamarna, 17-10, and then we reversed that 70-10. I think the first thing in the post-game show with Jerry and Coach McCaffrey was Coach said, you know what, it was As sad as I was at the end of that last game in overtime, it's like completely replaced, a complete 180. So it just got to feel so great to get that one.
Definitely, man. And that's something we talked about last week is learning from those mistakes. Every game is going to have mistakes, but if you learn from them, that's the kind of thing that can happen. You know, you get put in the same situation because you never know what will happen again. You get put in the same situation and ends up with a different outcome.
Dylan, last one for you. I know you watched some of the games yesterday and the NFL side of it. I'll just ask you this one. Are the Rams the best team in football right now?
They might be, man. After that performance last night, if they keep that rolling, I might agree with you. They're a solid program. There's a couple other teams, though. I mean, give them a run for their money. So we'll see. That's a fun team to watch moving forward, man. I like stuff Stafford is doing there. So.
Well, I like what you said. You kind of having some familiarity with that area. Mm-hmm. You're like, man, when they lose a guy like Stafford, a lot of the fan base is like, yeah, just good luck to you, man. Like, they're more or less almost happy for the guy because they just know what's going to – the Lions just find ways to lose and lose good players. It's how it goes.
Yeah, it was wild seeing Lions fans, man. I mean, most of the time people are pretty upset when their star player leaves, but a lot of those fans were, you know, happy for him in a way that, all right, he's going somewhere where he has a chance to succeed because they love him out there, man, and rightfully so. He's kind of a Detroit legend with stuff he did, and obviously would have loved a little more success, but, I mean, it wasn't really his fault in any of that.
That's the history of it. Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, Matt Stafford. I mean, these guys are Hall of Famers, and they don't have anything to really – I mean, Matt had some of those playoff games, right? Barry, I think, played in one playoff game. They're Hall of Famers that walk away from a program that just never really built around them.
It's it is pretty wild. But they are doing a lot of good things still. And that program, I mean – Every year, they look a little bit better.
Yeah, they almost got it done against the Ravens. Yeah, took a record-breaking field goal to get it done.
No doubt. They did what they were supposed to do this week, and that's a hard play for the Ravens to make. And most teams, most kickers, don't make that play. But when you got Tucker back there, hey, I guess he nailed it. And that's a shout-out to the Ravens for finding a way again. You know, that's part of football is just finding a way to win, and they did. But Lions, they were right there, man, honestly. I mean, it's tough to say they should have won the game, but they could have. They had just as – just an opportunity.
Hey, when it takes a record to beat you, breaking a record to beat you. Cowboys or Eagles tonight?
That's a good question, man.
I think it's in Dallas, right? Yeah, it's in Dallas.
It's in Dallas. Yeah. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
All right, I like that. I like that pick. We like that pick. Dylan, my friend, congratulations on a fantastic win. We love doing these segments with you, getting to know you more, my friend. And we'll be rooting for you this weekend.
All right, thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It's a blast.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. And, you know, just keep at it, man. Keep after Montana State coming up this Saturday. Again, we'll have it for you here on 103.1, 1310 KFKA, and 1310KFKA.com. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up. We'll talk a little bit about what happened in the NFL this weekend, get to some of the college football action as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.